Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already mid-September, September 16th and 17th, depending on when you're listening to. And for my running friends, if you're listening to this on Saturday, September 16th, we have the Hooksett Kiwanis 5K Trail Race, which begins at the library in Hooksett near Heads Pond Trail. And on Sunday, September 17th, at Northeast Delta Dental, we have the Walk with the Animals, a fundraiser for the SPCA. So all of the dogs that we all know and love bring down, we'll have a nice walk. Last week, we actually had My Dogs Are Barking 5K out of Derryfield. So it's great to see all of the beautiful pets. And hadn't realized that, but it's obvious, one of the effects of the hurricane is a lot of pets were shipped north and are being adopted. And so there's a huge need on that front. So Walk with the Animals is on Sunday, September 17th at 10 a.m. And on the subject of walking, last weekend we had Kathy Roos, and she did a great job talking about the upcoming breast cancer walk. And in case the listening audience doesn't know, Concord, New Hampshire, and Boston, Massachusetts were the first breast cancer walks. And also Concord, still to this day, per capita, is the most generous walk in the country. So hopefully I'll see everybody in a couple of weeks at Memorial Field. So now moving from pets to legs to bike, with me this weekend, September 16th and 17th, is Tim Blagden, who is a board member of the Bike Walk Alliance of New Hampshire, and he's also involved with the Concord Lake Sunapee Rail Trail. So Tim, you're quite busy, many business cards. So how did you get into this, and tell us some background?
Sure. So I got into the bicycle and pedestrian scene a few years back when I was looking to go for a ride with my young kids and came across the Bike Walk Alliance website. They were looking to have an executive director at that point. So I threw a resume at it, and we went out for a nice ride. And shortly thereafter, I ended up working for the Bike Walk Alliance of New Hampshire, and that's an organization that works statewide to improve biking and pedestrian conditions. So that's how I got into that. And for the Concord Lake Sunapee Rail Trail, that is a trail that is looking to go from Concord through Hopkinton, Warner, Sutton, Bradford, and out to Newberry, 34 miles. And it's a reassembly of an old a piece of the old Concord to Claremont railroad line.
Now, as you mentioned, one of the goals of the Bike Walk Alliance is to improve conditions for biking and walking. You also want to improve policies and provide education, get data on statistics on biking and walking, but also to help related organizations get started by serving as a fiscal sponsor. So why don't you explain that? Because of course, obviously New Hampshire, a very decentralized state. I witnessed that firsthand 10 years as chair of the State Board of Education, that any sort of overarching policy that we did at the State Board of Education still had to be approved, by the local school board. So you have this great alliance, but I'm assuming that there are other pockets of organizations out there that may need, a fiscal agent. So you may want to explain what that's all about.
Sure. So policy is one of the big things that the Bike Walk Alliance of New Hampshire works on here in Concord. We work on it both with the legislature and with the state DOT and the Bureau of Trails. It's important because that policy sets the stage for how funding occurs and is spent. So that's one of the things that has been lacking at the state level. So we work on that. We support complete streets, which is, if that's a term that's new to your listeners, that's supporting using the right of way the public right-of-way for people of all ages and all abilities. So it means you think about pedestrians, you think about cyclists, motorists, you consider transit where it makes sense, and not be exclusively building streets for cars. That ends up creating places for people to go to instead of places that people drive through. So there's not one thing that complete streets is or isn't, but that's a good example of changing the mindset a little bit for transportation planners. And we provide help at the municipal level, talking to select boards and planning boards, and we also work at the state level to try to get complete streets adopted statewide.
We'll circle back to complete streets because it's a great concept. So the Bike Walk Alliance, and of course this is New Hampshire, so I always get this question. So how is it funded? You obviously have a website, bwanh.org. Do you get funded by grants, by members, a combination thereof?
A combination thereof. So we are member supported. I encourage anybody that wants to have better conditions for biking and walking to become a member of the Bike Walk Alliance of New Hampshire. We also have businesses that join as corporate sponsors. And then we do apply for grants through the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation and other sources.
Great. So all my CEO colleagues out there, if you want to be a corporate sponsor, the website is bwanh.org. And, of course, all of us activists in terms of walking and riding can be an individual member. So let's circle back now to Complete Streets. So you had mentioned that the number of communities are looking at this, and we've seen these policies emerge in Portsmouth, Keene, Lebanon, Dover, Concord, Swansea, and Hinsdale. So Concord Main Street now looks ultra beautiful. It has much more room for bikers and walkers. So were you guys involved with that in any way?
Tangentially, the Central New Hampshire Bicycle Coalition played much more of an active role in that. That was funded with a Tiger Grant, which is a federal grant. So we did support that initiative, and that's a very high-end example of what a complete street is, and it's beautifully done. It's really brought a lot more life to back to downtown Concord, but complete streets don't need to be anywhere near as involved, so there is ways of supporting complete streets in rural conditions and for a lot less investment.
And as mentioned, you can learn more about Complete Streets by going on the website, bwanh.org, or you can go on one word, smartgrowthamerica.org's National Complete Streets Coalition link, and you can get information there. So it must be exciting that this is resonating now with citizens that, as you say, don't use streets just as a pass-through, but also as a destination. So tell us the thinking behind that. I mean, it seems like an elegant concept that it's common sense, but obviously it wasn't.
Well, yeah, you have to back up a little bit. So starting in just after World War II, we as a country asked transportation engineers to deliver us further, faster, and we got what we asked for, and we wanted to move safely. So the streets since the 1950s have been leveled, widened, the safety has been improved for motorists, and we now can drive great distances in the interstate network and arrive safely at pretty high speeds. But what's been sacrificed in that is as you get off the interstate and you end up going through downtown villages, those streets also have seen their speed limits increase and the people and cyclists be pushed to the margins. So all of your listeners, I'm sure, experience this where you think, am I safe walking here or biking here? And the answer in too many places is they don't. So what Complete Streets does is asks for a rethink of the policies, especially as you go through villages, to have it be a more human mix. And that is turns out to be, when you make a place walkable and bikeable, it's better for businesses, it's better for real estate values, better for tourism, it's better for public health. So there's a huge number of really important wins that happen when a place is fun to go to. And you know, Concord downtown, excellent example. Market Square over in Portsmouth, downtown Keene, all these places that are cool have complete streets in part to thank.
So there's a compelling economic reason. There's a quality of life reason. There's also, you know, a safety reason. I know some of my big biking friends are saying that they've noticed that in a lot of the biking shops, there's been a sort of decline in people purchasing road bikes and instead are buying mountain bikes or off-road bikes because of safety reasons. So obviously there's got to be a safety concern. In fact, one of my friends, my old neighbor when I lived in Bedford, Jeremiah Fitzgibbon, was run over using his bike. So I know there's definitely a safety part of this as well.
Absolutely. And one of the things that matters most for people who are not encased in a steel cage with an airbag and are out there as a vulnerable user on the highway is the speeds. So if somebody's unfortunately hit at a speed of 20 to 25 miles an hour, there's an 85% chance they're going to survive that. But if they get hit at 40, there's an 85% chance they're not going to survive the crash. So speed is a really important factor, and dialing that back 5 miles an hour or 10 in places can make a real difference to the safety aspect. Also, of course, more space is good. So in New Hampshire, where we feel constrained, there's getting some extra margin on the shoulder or just narrowing the driving lane can be an effective technique. And that's a no-cost option for when a road gets resurfaced. Are you going to restripe it as a 12-foot lane, or are you maybe going to shrink it down to 11 or 10 feet and give that extra space to the shoulder? Drivers will slow down and drive closer to the posted speed, and cyclists and pedestrians using that shoulder will feel more safe.
Great. That was a helpful hint there. Great. So after commercial break, we're going to talk about education in the schools. I'm going to ask Tim to address that. So we'll return with more of Tim Blagden after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Here we are on September 16th and 17th. And with me is Tim Blagden of the Bike Walk Alliance of New Hampshire. He's a board member. Just a reminder for my running friends, we have the Hooksett Kiwanis 5K Trail Race, and that's on Saturday, September 16th. And then we have the Walk with the Animals on Sunday, September 17th at Northeast Delta Dental's campus, and it's a great, great day, and it's great to see all the friendly dogs. So I want to segue now a little bit, Tim, into education. So just as an aside, we were talking on at break that David Skye, who's the Central New Hampshire Bike Coalition, he's actually coming to Northeast Delta Dental to do what we call a lunch and learn, which is a lunchtime educational event, optional for our employees, and he's a lot of enthusiasm on the biking side of thing, and I do obviously understand that the Bike Walk Alliance is a fiscal agent for Central New Hampshire. So it's great that all the organizations, are coming together and basically, as I think the rising tide, helps everybody. Education in terms of the schools. Tell us about that. I know you try to reach, fourth and fifth graders. So tell us about that.
Sure. So through the Bike Walk Alliance of New Hampshire, we run a safe walking and safe biking program. As Tom said, the focus area is fourth and fifth grades. We have trained instructors who come in with an exciting program. And last year, we reached over 4,000 New Hampshire students. They enjoy the class. We review how to walk and bike safely to school and on their own time. It's done in a indoor setting, so it's not an on-bike thing, but if you are a listener and you'd like your school to get involved, it tends to be either the school nurses or the school PE directors that contact Leslie Thompson, who's our coordinator, and Leslie can be reached at an email address of Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, at bwanh.org.
And very age specific, these classes present, you know, strategies for safe riding and skills, you know, that fourth and fifth graders need. And the instructors are all certified, correct?
That's right. They've been trained by League of American Bicyclists certified instructors. And that's a big focus for us. We also do traffic skills 101 classes for adults. So if you're an adult and you're just looking for a little more confidence in riding on the streets and learning where to place your bicycle, how to negotiate with traffic, we do offer classes in traffic skills 101 by certified instructors.
I may need to take that course. I tried to do a lot of biking around Concord, and I had the clip-ons for my bikes, but there was too many places where I had to completely stop, so I got rid of the clip-ons. I fell over one time anyway, so that's interesting that there's also an adult component. So in corporate, we have an expression, you know, you are what you measure, or your adage, what gets measured gets done. And I'm a big believer in that. It's also very important. I tell my own employee colleagues that you know, you are what you measure, but it's important that you're measuring the right stuff and creating the right SMART goals, strategic, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-based. So sounds like that you do a fair amount of data measurement and data capturing. So tell us about that and what is the ultimate end game on that?
Sure. So one of the problems that we face in New Hampshire is how do you engineer the right infrastructure for people to walk on and bike on if you don't understand how many people are walking and biking? It's very difficult to throw that at an engineer and get a successful result. So we did some research. We found the company Strava, which most people think is maybe a West Coast company. Turns out they actually have some East Coast Dartmouth roots here in New Hampshire. And we were able to buy anonymous data from Strava for walking and biking, which gives us a pretty robust sample set that we provide to planners. DOT gets this data and they share it with the regional planning commissions. And this is a helpful aid to show people who are designing our roads where this sort of activity takes place. So Strava, which is Strava, they have a free app you can put on a smartphone, or if you're an enthusiast and ride with some bicycle computer, I'm sure you can get Strava, the app on that device. And when you record your activity, we'll eventually be able to see that somebody, we won't know who it was, but that somebody was out walking on that street or bicycling on that street, and that will help us plan better infrastructure in the future. So we encourage people to record their activities, no matter how short, no matter how slow. It's the fact that it took place is what's really important. And then we mix that data with 100% sample data. So we will go out a couple of times a year in May and September. We look for volunteers to stand at a street corner for 2 hours and measure, just tick off on a checkboard all the cyclists and pedestrians that go through a particular intersection. Those counts are very important. It's easy work to do. Anybody can do it. Contact your regional planning commission or the Bike Walk Alliance of New Hampshire if you'd like to volunteer with a bike and ped count.
Right. And then, so if I wanted to volunteer, then should I call you at 748-0340?
That'd be fine. I'll
connect you.
I'll connect you to the right place across the state.
I love the idea of measurement. I mean, this is so important. It gives us the data to have those actionable items. So,
well, it does. One of the things I'm trying to encourage our Department of Transportation to do is at any signalized intersection where there's a street light, put in infrastructure there that will see and count both the cars, trucks, and the cyclists and pedestrians. Those solutions are out there. California went with that type of solution at all their signalized intersections starting in 2007. Every time they upgrade an intersection or put in a stoplight, it has to be able to see the human traffic that's going through that intersection. And I'd love to see that added in New Hampshire as a tool.
Awesome. Now, we've already talked about how Bike Walk Alliance has helped emerging organizations. I mentioned one, the Central New Hampshire Bicycle Coalition, David Skye. Also, I know Bike Manchester has contacted Delta Dental and then the Laconia Area Bicycle Exchange and the Friends of the Salem Bike Ped Corridor and the Friends of the Concord Lake Sunapee Rail Trail get started. So I think in true New Hampshire style, we have a lot of these mini organizations with similar goals, and the Bike Walk Alliance has really been able to provide the overarching, you know, fiscal agent as well as the accounting needed to maintain the 501c3 nonprofit status. So that's I commend you, because that's so critical. People don't realize, you know, if you can have the greatest passion and so forth, but there's still a fair amount of, you know, paperwork to maintain your status. So it sounds like you've been able to coordinate that for these other organizations.
That's right. It's so if you're out there and you've got an idea about how to something you want to do relative to bicycling or pedestrian or running, and you think there's a nonprofit you'd like to start, it certainly would make sense to get in touch with us. We may be able to help you directly. We're probably pretty well connected to people who can help you. Maybe there's an organization in your area that's already going you don't know about, but if you do need to get started, we might be able to assist you on your way. And that can really help with those initial fundraising efforts and getting started. And then at the end, if your organization, you know, ends up standing on its own and wants to move out and become a standalone 501c3, it's very easy to have an amicable parting of the ways. You sort of grow out of it, and we wish you well.
And give birth to a child. Very cool. So another initiative that there's a fair amount of press on is the rail trail, using some of the old portions from Concord to Claremont. So tell us about that. I know there's separate fundraising on that and so forth, and a lot
sure.
of activity. So what's the Bike Walk Alliance's role in that?
So the Bike Walk Alliance helped the Friends of the Concord Lake Sunapee Rail Trail get started. And that Concord Lake Sunapee Rail Trail is a group that is trying to build a rail trail from Concord through Hopkinton, Warner, Sutton, Bradford, and Newberry, 34 miles out to Lake Sunapee. So it would, one end would be right at Pierce Manse over by Horseshoe Pond, and the other end would be right up in Newberry Harbor. So this is a railroad corridor that was completely abandoned, so it is a parcel-by-parcel effort to restitch it together. There are sections that are usable today in each of those communities, but the access is not assured, and it's not all one contiguous line. So that group is stitching that back together and then putting down a stone dust surface and making it a great place to push a stroller, use a wheelchair, walk, run, ride a bike, ride your horse, and in some sections, ride a snowmobile.
You know, it's interesting. I think what you're pointing out is that these projects, although it seems maybe beautiful in their simplicity, you know, a trail between here and Claremont, that there's so many little aspects to it, and so it's great that the Alliance is really, you know, keeping an eye on that. For example, I know last Wednesday you had a meeting to see if the Conservation Commission would purchase a parcel owned by the railroad between Pierce Manse, that you mentioned, the Smokestack Center. So that's just an example of all of the big and little things that have to happen. And I know when you mentioned Horseshoe Pond, so when Northeast Delta Dental first built at the far end of that, you know, way back in 1998, and at the time it was then called the CRUD Corridor, there's a lot that goes to it, and now it's beautiful. So it has to be done right, and it's great that the Alliance has taken a look at that. Another one that you're looking at is one in Hopkinton. Tell us about that.
Well, that Stevens Rail Trail section, as it's known in Hopkinton, is part of the Concord Lake Sunapee Rail Trail, or would be incorporated into the Concord Lake Sunapee Rail Trail. It's an existing trail of about 1.4 miles. The sign, it's very nice while you're on it, except at the end it gets a little bit wet and leaves you on the shoulder of Interstate 89. And So we've applied for a grant to improve that surface and provide a better outcome out to Route 103.
And you have another section planned before the Warner Fall Foliage, and used to be a road race out there, and I used to do that. So So, Tim, it's awesome. So I just want to, again, put a plug in for membership to the Bike Walker Alliance. The website is bwanh.org, or you can call Tim at 748-0340. And we also need corporate sponsors. So, Tim, thanks for doing what you're doing. I think one of the reasons why New Hampshire is so special is, I know it's easier for me to recruit executives knowing that there are walking trails and biking trails. So there's also, this is a great part of our economic engine. So keep up the great work.
Thanks very much. It was a pleasure to be on, and would love to come back as we develop more sections of trail.
Please do. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.